Today's scripture reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. Please turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. To God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in peace, in praise, glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Today, I'm going to talk about the bad news and the good news of being a Christian follower of Christ. First, the bad news. Christians, as today's passage talks about, are strangers in the world. Strangers in the world in the negative sense. Strangers in the world talk about we don't have a home. We are social outcasts. Strangers are foreigners. The apostles Apostle Peter wrote to Christians 30 years after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. He wrote to Christians who were dispersed to many parts of the world: Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia. These are areas that is in today's modern Turkey. The scripture does not say why these Christians were dispersed. But we learned Christians and Jews were, from time to time, they were kicked out. Just like the book of Acts talk about a couple, Aquila and Priscilla, was kicked out of the city of Rome. Perhaps these Christians were rejected because they were rejected by their fellow Jews for believing Jesus as the Messiah. Or perhaps these Christians were rejected because they refused to be emperor worshippers. In the Roman Empire, if you declare your allegiance and worship the emperor as God, then you are accepted. You may even get a good government job. But these Christians would not worship Roman Caesar as their Lord because they declare, they believe that Jesus is their Lord. So end up they were strangers in the world. They are not accepted. They were rejected. They were foreigners. They were sojourners. This world is not their home. This is the negative aspect in those times in Peter's first century, being a Christian. That's bad news. They are homeless. Perhaps they are strangers because they believe, these Christians believe in the resurrection of a dead man. How many of you have seen a dead man come back to life? The Christians in the first century, they proclaim everywhere that a dead man, their Lord Jesus, have come back to life. So they were concluded as social outcasts. They are strangers. They believe in something that is untenable. It's not possible. Yet they are still telling people. What does it have to do with us? What does it have to do with us Christians now? We have no religious persecution. But when you think about it, Christians today are also strangers in the world. We are the minority. On the average Sunday in Canada, only 20% of the people of the population attend church worships. When you compare to the people inside a church building here and in a shopping mall, where do you think right now have more people? We are strange by coming here to worship. One Sunday, we saw in Professor Lake, there was some kind of marathon fundraising events. The whole parking lot was full. There must be 1,000 people running. The parking lot was full. Yet we are in a church singing and praising God. We are strange. If you look, when people look from the outside to us, why on a beautiful Sunday morning here, you guys are gathering here, listen to a man preach? How strange you are. We live in a very pluralistic society where a lot of people, the majority of people, believe there's no absolute truth. They will consider all religion ideologies are equally valid. Yet you, Christians, believe that there is absolute truth, that God has revealed himself in an ancient book 2,000 years ago, written, and you follow it. And you believe that this world was created, not evolved. You believe that ultimately God revealed himself in the Bible and in his son Jesus. We believed Jesus Christ is the embodiment of all truth and wisdom. To the world outside, we are strangers indeed. How about in the moral realm? Right now, a lot of people take the moral stand that there's no absolute morality. It really all depends. All depends on the situation. All depends on how you feel, what you feel. It is relativism. It's relative. You know, moral in this country may be not moral in the other country, they would say. As a popular song says, how can it be so wrong when it feels so good? For Christians, we follow the Bible teaching and the moral standard. This is our ultimate guide. So we are considered strange. And the morality in the past 50 years have changed a lot. 50 years ago, a lot of people who are from the Judeo-Christian background believe that marriage is one man, one woman, joined together, forsaking all others for life. But now, the sexual morality is totally different. For Christians, we believe sexual activities is only sanctioned within the marriage relationship. But now, you can have premarital sex, you can live together, you can have same-sex marriage, you have same relationship, you can have anything. So for Christians who still hold on the biblical principle that sexual relationships is only sanctioned in a marriage relationship, we are strangers in the world indeed. How about persecution? Oh, well, maybe we are different than Peter's time. There's no prosecution. We will not be put in jail. But especially for students in universities, I am forewarning you. When you go into university and maintain your stance with holding the biblical principle, you will be ridiculed. I can tell you that, especially for the people who go to university for the first time. You will be laughed upon. You'll be ridiculed. So what is your stance? If you join them, you will have no ridicule. You will not stand out. I heard that some new Teachers College graduate have a lot of problem finding job. But I heard that hearsay from existing school teachers that if you claim to be gay and lesbian, you will have a better chance to land a teacher's job. Legally, in British Columbia, Trinity Western tried to form a law faculty. And they already, other law societies in many other provinces already said that when you graduate, we are not going to allow your graduates to be licensed with us to write our exam, because you uphold to a morality according to the Bible, and it discriminates against LGBT communities. So, you still say that being a Christian, strangers in the world will face no persecution? Think again. So all these are bad news. But today I said bad news and good news. So what is the good news? In this passage we just read, there are many, many good news. First, the good news are you, Christians, strangers in the world, you are God's elect. You are specially chosen by God. You are a child of God. Verse 2, to God's elect, strangers in the world, you are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and by sprinkling by his blood. You were chosen by God the Father. You are made holy, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You are saved by the blood of Jesus, the Son Jesus. This is a joint participation of the Holy Trinity. You are this special product of the Holy Trinity. Notice here, he says, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ, and by sprinkling by his blood. I think this is very important, that we are saved for one purpose, is for the obedience to Jesus Christ. And this is important because it is always very consistent throughout the New Testament. For example, Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans, Christians in Rome, described Christians as people called to the obedience that come from faith. Why is it obedience to Jesus Christ so important? Why? Why does the scripture always says we, our faith, the end result of our faith should be obedience to Jesus Christ? Because obedience to Jesus is the only way we show that we love Jesus. Let me draw your attention to one very, very important passage. In Gospel of John chapter 14, I want everyone to look for this verse. Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 21. Okay, where's your, get your gadgets and Bible. John chapter 14, verse 21. If you have found it, please read it together with me. Whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. You see, here the scripture reminds us, how do we show we love Jesus? How do you show your love to Jesus? By following Benjamin and saying, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you? No, not just that. You show your love for Jesus by following his command, obeying him, obeying what he taught. Not just pick and choose something, commandment you like and follow him, but to obey Jesus loyally. And the reward for obeying Jesus is to know Jesus in a deeper level. And Jesus, show myself to you. Now let's go back to 1 Peter. Not only that we have, the good news is that we are a child of God. We are God's chosen, specially elected one. We are also having a new birth into a living hope. More good news. Apostle Peter says, here, Apostle Peter wrote about this letter more than 30 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. And he still continued to keep the faith and hope. And then he's continued to still praising Jesus. He says, praise to be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. After 30 years, Peter continued to praise Jesus and the Father of Lord Jesus. He says, in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth. A new birth. What is a new birth? Every Christian's, the Bible said, we have a new birth. This is a new blessing. It is eternal life. Compared to anything, if you don't have eternal life, what does it matter? Think about it. What is more important than an eternal life? strangers in the world. Strangers, outcasts. Yes, I may be outcast, I may be strangers, I may be rejected, but I have a new life, eternal life, given by our Lord Jesus. The biblical description of a life with Jesus is a new life. And Bible talk about our life before we have Jesus is a dead man. We are dead men walking. Everyone without Jesus' life is a dead man walking. We are dead in our sins and transgressions. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, Apostle Paul said, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." And 4 verses down, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions." So our greatest blessings, our benefit, is we have this new life and eternal life. This new birth shows us that we have this status. Yet, until we die on our earth life on earth, or until Jesus' second coming, every day we have this additional benefit of a living hope. Living hope is a hope that we have. It's day by day. Every day we have this hope based on the historical fact of Jesus' resurrection. And this Jesus' resurrection keep Peter's faith up after 40 years. And this should also keep our faith up. Because Jesus have died and resurrected. So we always have this hope that one day we will resurrect it together with Jesus. We are not afraid. Christians are not afraid of death. Dying is just a transition into another phase of our life. So we have the blessing that we are children of God, eternal life, and a living hope. And more, every Christian, every stranger of the world in Christ have an inheritance. And this inheritance is secure. It will not erode. In our new Young Adults Fellowship, we talk about what do we crave. For 2 Fridays, we talk about what do we crave. A lot of people express, we crave for money, sex, fame, power, and other things. But ultimately, when we really take a look at it, these are things that's temporary. These are not things that can truly satisfy us. Maybe it satisfies us, numbs us, or give me happiness for a short while, but we realize all these will not truly satisfy us. And during the fellowship, we talk about that we should long for heavenly things. We should long for our Lord Jesus until he is the one who truly satisfied us. Jesus said what he prepared for us in heaven as something so wonderful that eyes cannot see, have not seen, ears have not heard. And we long for this inheritance. Apostle Peter said, every one of you, strangers of the world, you have this inheritance that would never go away, eroded. Your pension, the dollar figure, may go up and down, but your inheritance in Jesus will never pass away, and it will truly satisfy you. The Lord God spoke through Jeremiah. He says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Let me ask you, would you rather drink from a living water flowing out of the spring, or would you like to drink mud water from the ground? Nobody would like to drink mud water from the ground when there is a living water flowing from the brook, right? Yet God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah. He said, "My people turn his back on this living water, but prefer to drink mud water, cistern that they have dug. Yet this is even broken cistern that will never satisfy." Apostle Peter says, "You have this inheritance. This inheritance will be so wonderful, and it will never go away, never erode. Look for it. Look forward to it. More, there are more coming." Just like advertisement, you know, how you notice in the TV attachments, all the, you know, they keep piling up benefits to you. Apostle Peter says, "More. There's more. Strangers in the world, you have a faith that gives you joy in every circumstances. Would you want that? Every circumstances, even in trial, in difficulties, you will have joy." Apostle Peter, he was threatened by the Jewish authorities. "You cannot preach about Jesus." Yet when they were released, they pray about, "God, give us more courage to pray about Jesus." And later on, he was arrested by King Herod and put in jail to be executed the next day. What will you do when you are put in jail and knowing that tomorrow your heads will be chopped off? How would you feel? Hey, you know what Jesus Peter did? He fell so sound asleep that when God sent an angel to rescue him, the angel had to wake him up. "Peter, Peter, wake up, wake up. We have to go, we have to go." He was so peaceful. Peter was he fell asleep. He had to be wakened by the angel. He had so much peace. As Christians, we can rejoice in all circumstances. Give you an example, like surgery. Like if you have something that you need to undergo surgery. I don't think anybody would be happy about the surgery, right? But you would be joyful because you know that after this surgery, whatever that is bothering you, eating you up, will be gone. So it's just the same. We can have joy through surgery because we know that this is for our good. So for the same idea, Christians are joyful even in difficulty and trial, because we know that God is in our control. It is God's protection. There is a good purpose that we experience this difficulty. It's because God wants to use this trial to strengthen our faith. There is only one way to strengthen your muscles. is what? You cannot take pills to strengthen your muscle, you know that? But there's only one way to strengthen your muscle, by exercise. And when you exercise, sometimes it feels pain, you know? But always, health professional always says that, that's okay, it's good for you, this pain. Of course, within moderation. Same way, trial, difficulties is God's way to strengthen our faith, just like exercise strengthen our muscle. So for this we rejoice, we rejoice, we are happy. So strangers in the world, other people may think that you guys are crazy, because when you are in pain, in trial, you say, praise God, hallelujah. Strange. Apostle Peter called followers of Jesus Christ strangers in the world. They were social outcasts, but blessed children of God with a living hope. So are we. We live in a world that have different value system, moral standards, ideologies as to many of us. Because we want to follow the example of Jesus, obedient to his teaching, we may suffer ridicules, disadvantage, or being taken advantage of. But in all good circumstances, we give praise and give thanks. We rejoice even in our suffering. We are indeed strangers in the world. But I am proud and happy to be God's strangers in the world. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as we follow you, not just in words, but in our lives, in our action, in our commitment to follow your commands, help us to know you better. Even though the world may laugh at us, we want to follow you, forsaking others. And we want our life to be a shining example to the world, so that people may be attracted to you. Help us to be proud strangers in the world for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.